Okay, welcome back to How Relationships Work. This is our fourth week. I felt like the first 3 weeks we did a lot of basics. Really, y'all, I guess we're going to try to, I'm going to be trying to keep it basic and doing maybe what you consider a lot of repeating. And I started thinking about that. Paul says, I don't mind to remind you again in the Bible. And every one of my spiritual mentors is John Riddle, and every time I sit under him, he says the exact same thing, and every time I write my fingers to the bone and think, how awesome was that? So we're going to be covering a lot of the same basics, and here's what I feel like the Lord's charge is that he wants this not to be information. He wants this to become our thinking. Remember how we said we are transformed by the renewing of our mind. So instead of reacting to life circumstances, my prayer is that my response and yours will become, the default will be to stop, take a breath of fresh air, and say, okay, Lord, what do you want to be to me in this situation? That's relational. That's connection. And last week, we talked about the fruits of the Spirit. We've been talking about them every week. But last week, we talked about the fruits of the Spirit, and I've used several verses to say, the thing that God wants from you, any commandment he makes and asks of us, he always gives a provision for it. So if anybody read the paper, if anybody did the homework, if anybody heard me say, get busy and get out there and change your behavior and just go on out there and produce yourself a fruit of the Spirit when you're feeling like being kind of snarky, please let me restate this for myself, but for anybody who had a question mark about that, okay? Because this is not you just doing it differently. This is out of the overflow, a byproduct of your connection to God. This is overflow. This is not production. This is receiving. Just as Catherine received the water and she got to hand it out all week, that's a great picture of what God wants to do for us. It's who he is to us and who he wants to be through us. And I used the verse, I'm going to say all of them today, and I'm going to draw the picture because I figured out which picture to use. Last week I was kind of fumbling in my picture drawing. Okay, so the picture that is our third diagram that's on the front of the notebook is the one that's the elliptical target. And we've got the spirit, human spirit in the middle. We've got the soul is the middle ring, and the body is the outer ring. And we've been drawing a big old arrow, and that's the Holy Spirit connected to our human spirit. And then we've been drawing these arrows coming out and saying these are the fruits of the Spirit. And let me give you all the verses that are going to tell you that this is not something you can do. This is something you have to appropriate and count on God to do for you. We started with this one, 1 Thessalonians 5:24. Whatsoever he calls you to do, he will bring it to pass. That's, you can use that in everything you face in life. We said John 7:37-39, and especially in verse 38, I keep quoting, that out of this middle hollow place, the hole that was designed for God, where we connect with him spirit to spirit, out of that hollow place, out of your empty hollow circumstances, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And the context of that was Jesus pouring out water on the steps of the temple saying, this is what the Holy Spirit is going to be like. So this is something that he's supplying to you. And then we used last week, this was when I got goofy on my drawing, Romans 11:35. So from him, this is God the Father up here, seated on the throne. And it says in James 1:17, every good and perfect gift comes from above, from the Father. So it's from him. Here's your from, and it's through him, through the cross of Jesus, through Jesus, who sealed us with the Holy Spirit, and then pours out his fruit into us, Galatians 2. Here's the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, and self-control. So it's from the Father, through Jesus the Son, and then by the fruits of the Spirit and the Holy Spirit, it's to them. So really, just take those little arrows back up to God. That's the to him. That we're living a life that glorifies him. We're going from that gory, icky, fleshly response to a spirit-filled response from him, through him, and back up to him. Does that make sense? Yes, it requires a choice. That's the role of your soul. Realize that your mind is the gateway, and you've got to realize this is an option. That's your thinking. In that moment, you want to take that thought captive and go, oh, wait a minute, there's a better thought out here. I can bite the head off, or I can stop and ask Jesus what to do. So there's where your mind comes in, and then realize that your emotions may still be feeling shaky. And I don't know if I said this out loud to you. I know I said it out loud to somebody, but I don't think I said it in the big room. The example I always go to about your emotions catching up in that moment, you make the choice, you use your will, is when Corrie ten Boom saw the prison guard in the church when she was speaking after the war was already over, and this guy was pretty almost directly responsible for the death of her father and her sister. And the Lord said, go and extend your hand of fellowship to him. And she just was going, God, I can't. I mean, it's like she couldn't do it and mean it. Her emotions weren't there. I mean, she was willing to obey. But she said that when she extended her hand, it's like Mary White said about the stepping into the water, is that when you are standing on flood stage at the Jordan and God says, okay, cross over, go across the Jordan now, it's time for you to step out in obedience. It's when you take that step of faith and obedience that the water parts. And guess what? She extended her hand and she said she felt the love and the forgiveness of God flow directly to that prison guard. And it was like, that's a miracle. Well, y'all, that is why I say it's no, really to me, that's a bigger miracle than raising people, somebody from the dead. I mean, honestly, for you to get that kind of love and forgiveness through me to somebody like that, to me is a bigger miracle than raising a dead body to life again. I mean, seriously, y'all. That's the kind of miraculous, abundant, supernatural lifestyle. That's that dynamo resurrection power that lives inside of us. So I'm not comparing miracles. I'm just saying that's pretty big, I think, that it's an option that we can choose that. So I hope, did anybody hear performance in that? Did y'all all hear dependence, trust, not producing, not by might, not by power, but by my spirit? Zechariah, there's another one we can add to the list. Zechariah 4:6. So if you need an arsenal for this is not performance, here's four verses to go with it, okay? So moving on. I want to give you, on my outline, for those who like outlines, that was review. Next, I'm going to do a preview. I'm going to tell you, as they used to say in the old sales meeting, tell them what you're going to tell them, and then tell them what you told them. So I'm going to tell you what I'm going to tell you in the preview. Okay, so what we're going to do is we're going to say one more time, we were made to connect. We are relational beings. God is a relational being. And the bottom line of people who are made to connect is loving. That I've said probably every week. I will probably say it every week. I want y'all to be able to say it right along with me. I want you to be thinking it right along with me. And because that is innate to who we are, we can't live with joy and we can't live with purpose if we're not loving. It's just what we have to thrive. You can survive, but it won't be abundant. It won't be supernatural without love. And yet, here's the conundrum, is that we live in a world with broken people. We are broken people. And we let God down, we let people down, and people let us down every stinking day. And so now, how was it we were supposed to be doing all that supernatural loving when we have all this going on? It seems like the very thing that we need the most is the most impossible to get. Jesus recognized that. We are not taking him by surprise. This verse to me is very powerful. I just think, thank you, Jesus, for saying in Luke 17:1, he said, it is impossible for offenses not to come. We will have opportunity every single day of our lives, sometimes every hour of our lives, to be offended. The Greek word for offense is skandalon. I like the sound of that. I thought that sounded very kind of like a dramatic episode. That word literally means a trap, a snare, an impediment, or a stumbling block. And so here we are. We've got this call to love, this need to love and be loved, and yet we've got all these offenses. And so what really is necessary for loving is I want to draw a connection between forgiving and loving. You can't have one without the other. If we're going to love as people in this fallen, broken world, forgiveness has got to be a part of it. So forgiving love is really what we're called to. Okay? And I want to define that. Forgiving love is the pursuit of the offender, the person that put that bait out there and made you want to stumble. Pursuit of the offender by the offended, that would be me or you, for the purpose of restored relationship. Or to put it a different way, you reaching out to the person who offended you to reconnect is a simple way to say that. So that's what forgiving love looks like. We will get into some more biblical how-tos as we move forward, but right now I want to focus on the fact that we all have this love-hate thing going on. So I named the lesson Love-Hate Relationship. And I know we're talking about people that offend us and people that want to make us stumble, but y'all, really, before we get to that, I'd like to talk about how that works between us and God. Because the truth is we all get offended with God. We all get disappointed in Him, and we offend Him. So, I think let's look at that today and just spend a few minutes on that, because I think as we get in touch with the forgiving love of God, that's going to help us and enable us to then trust Him for it and in our lives to be an overflow, okay? I do just want to say, I know we've seen all the great movies, we've read all the great books, we've seen the beautiful photographs in magazines and on billboards and stuff, but y'all, love is not a human characteristic. It is not an emotion. It's not a sentiment. It's not romance. It's not. Love is a choice to act benevolently and beneficially toward another person. And what it really is in the essence of love is God. 1 John 4:8 is your reference for that. God is love. And so if we have any chance whatsoever of having forgiven love in our lives, it's got to be from God, through God, and back to God. Okay? So let's look at that for a minute, this love-hate relationship. First of all, let me say, at the deepest level, let me reassure you, lest any of you Bible scholars start getting nervous about me talking about hating God, that I know this to be true, and I want you to know it if you don't know it. At our deepest core of who we are, we all love God. So if you don't feel very loving to God, toward God right now, I want you to know that you really do love Him. You may just have it covered up with a bunch of stuff. Because He tells us in Ezekiel 36:26, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Our heart, the deepest inmost being of us, our new nature, loves God. It does. And so at the end of the day, when it's all said and done, you can do it ugly, you can do it pretty, but you're going to end up in heaven loving God for all of eternity. Okay, so let's get that said. But at any given moment in time, so that's like the end of the movie, we saw the ta-da, and those credits are rolling, and we're all going to be running across the finish line loving God. But let's go back to today, and let's talk about each individual frame. In any individual frame of the movie of your life, you've got a choice to either love God or hate God. And that sounds kind of black and white. That sounds kind of melodramatic. But the Bible said it. Jesus said it. So let's look at what Jesus said to us in Matthew 6:24. I like the AMP because it to find a really hard word. So I'm going to read it from the AMP, which is almost identical except for at the end. So Matthew 6:24 Amplified says, no one can serve two masters. He will either hate the one. So I did not make up the word hate. Jesus was the one that said it. He will either hate the one and love the other, or he will stand by and be devoted to the one and despise and be against the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And here's the definition of mammon. Yes, it means money, but it also means deceitful riches, possessions, or whatever. That's the word I'd like for y'all to remember. Whatever is trusted in other than God. Okay? So that's, you can't, bottom line, you can either choose to trust in God, follow God, obey God, and that's loving God, or you can choose to trust in something else or in yourself, and that's hating God. That's what Jesus said. So you could really kind of say, you should say, well, Kathy, why don't you just say sin? Okay, sin. Sin is hating God. But I want us to talk about kind of what that looks like, because I think, you know, we're not comfortable saying that. But I can remember when I got kind of free in this, there's a woman that I greatly admire who's given her entire life for the sake of the gospel. She's a missionary. I saw her speak at a covenant event several years ago. And she's standing in front of a whole room of people, and she's given, you know, this an inspiring message. And she's obviously crazy about God. She's, you know, just doing great things for the kingdom of God. And she was telling about, you know, kind of how she got to where she is today. And she said, and I, you know what, I was really mad at God. And I'm going, I'm kind of doing this, like, looking from side to side, the peripheral glance to see, did anybody else flinch when she said that? I thought, you know what, that is, thank you for saying that. That kind of freed me up to admit there are times in my life when I'm kind of mad at God. And she went on to say that she had to, and she used finger quotes, forgive God. Now, let me say, for anyone who would like to start having a theological discussion with the Bible, God never needs truly to be forgiven, because God is perfect. He does no wrong. I know those verses too. But I'm talking about relationally. I'm talking about offenses come in, disappointments come in. You feel let down. You feel disconnected. You feel confused. You feel angry. You feel mad. You feel like, what is up with that God? That's when we need to entertain the same tools that we would use in any close relationship. Think about the people that you love the most. Can you not, who wouldn't raise their hand and say, my better half, my child is the person that can make me madder than anybody on the planet? Yes, the person you love the most, the person you have the most invested in, the most emotional connection to, the most overlap with, that's the person that you can hate the most. It's just, you know, so anyway, just saying, so what's true in the natural is also true in the vertical, is also true in the horizontal. So I realized that, yeah, you know what, me too. I have a few places where I really can praise God from a whole heart, but I have a few places where I'm going, you know what, I need to have a conversation about what's going on in this part of my life, because I'm kind of mad at you, God. I've got a little low-grade thing going here. And, you know, anytime, yes, it's when we choose selfishness, it's when we choose, for me, fear of man. I care more about what somebody else thinks than I care about what God thinks. So disconnection comes in. I choose to bow to my own wisdom instead of seeking the wisdom of God. I choose to love him with less than a whole heart in an area, to be tepid and cold and lukewarm. I go to other things to satisfy my deepest needs instead of going to God. But what we said last week was we don't have to do that. That in those moments when we're tempted to choose the lesser, when we're tempted to turn away from God and serve another master, hate God and not love him, we have a choice. And that's what we want to talk about today. We have a choice. Instead of to be offended and to disconnect, we have the choice to stay connected through forgiving love. That's the fruit that we can ask him to impart to us and then to flow through us. Okay? Let me just say, So that was love, hate. And then I'm going to say the next thing we're going to talk about is divide and conquer. Because here's the lay of the land. Ever since man was created in the garden, going back to Genesis, we see that Satan, it's going to be his M.O. to bring in disconnection. It's going to be his M.O. to bring in separation. He despises love. And if he can get us to be separated from God, that's all he's got to do. The rest of it is just, I mean, we're just in on our own and in our flesh and disconnected. And so we don't want that. So what Satan did in Genesis is he introduced a spirit of separation. We all know this story. I'm not going to read this whole passage. But go back to what happened in Genesis. And Satan said in chapter 3, if you want to look it up, it's verses 1 through 5 where this happens. And what Satan does is two things. And it's the same kind of things that he does to us. Two of his favorite tools. One, he questions the love and character of God. Has God really said? And then he says, I will read verses 4 and 5. He says, when he was talking about the not eating of the tree that was forbidden, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Okay, so it's that same thing he's doing again. It's that thing where he takes a bit of truth and then he adds a little twist to it. That's what he did. And here's what here's the message he was sending to Adam and Eve, and here's the message he sends to every one of us. God's holding out on you. God's withholding good from you. God could let you have that. That's not really good. I mean, you know, you could have had that, but he's not going to let you. So we question the heart of God and the intention of God. Two times that we're most likely to disconnect from God and for that spirit of separation to come in, and according to the title of the lesson, hate God, two times. One is when we're faced with a decision. I found this quote, and I thought, you know what? That is bearing witness to my spirit, and I want to share this. There's a Christian psychologist named Dan Allender that has a blog, and this is a quote from him. It says, "The burden of choice seems unfair. It is in the crucible of choice that many choose to either opt for what is comfortable and safe or choose to bludgeon others with their right to choose." So we're faced with a decision, and y'all, we don't want to have to decide because it's hard. We want to just get it right. We just want to know the right answer. We don't want to have to use faith. We want to walk by sight instead of by faith. And we want what we want, not what he wants. I mean, if you really just want to be honest. And so the example that I thought about, the Lord reminded me of when, and I'm sure this is going to be similar to what happens for each one in this room. Years ago, when I was running with a running group, I ran the one marathon, and I did a few other little races, and I ran with this little Piggly Wiggly running group, and it was a cool little running group. And it was about that same time in my life that I was really getting excited about discipleship and walking in the Spirit and learning about the things of God. And I mean, it's like when you're on mile 21, people will say, just talk, just say anything. Well, let me tell you, testimonies, Bible verses, pray. Let me pray. Yes, pray. It's 90 degrees out here, and I hadn't had anything to eat for 7 hours. You know, people were ready to hear whatever it is you would put out there. And so anyway, I had myself a little running ministry going, and I was loving that. Really, really liking that for a lot of different reasons. Well, I did that one marathon. I signed up for the next marathon without really asking God about it. I just assumed that was so great. I just keep on doing it. And at the same time, they came to me and said, would you teach a Piggly Wiggly runner Bible study? And I was so excited. I thought, oh, of course I can. I have a running ministry. Y'all, I got up. I started praying, and the Lord spoke to me through a passage, and it was the one, I didn't take the time to look it up this morning, but it was the one where the evil spirits went into the pigs and the pigs ran over the cliff. Because I sort of had an inkling. You know how you kind of know these things. You kind of know, I really don't have time to do this, but I really want to do this. But I knew that God was really kind of saying, that's really nice that they ask you and thank them and tell them no. But I was so mad at God about it because I was having sort of a change in my friend group, and I was having a change. I just wanted to do it. And you know what? It made me really mad at God. I remember thinking, God, why? Why would you withhold that from me? Because these were my new friends, and it's a good thing. And this is when we can all use the phrase, yeah, it was a good idea, but it wasn't a God idea. So I had to say no, and I'm so glad that I did, because that was about the time that God birthed this ministry, and I wouldn't be running alongside y'all in spiritual things. You know, so anyway, but I will say I was really mad at God at the time, and it was that decision-making thing that put the pressure on me to have to tell somebody. So fear of man, all those things I listed came out in those moments. Okay, second is when life is unfair. This is when we really want to disconnect, take offense, and hate God. It's when life is unfair. We fall for that same thinking that Adam and Eve did. God's holding out on us. Why doesn't he intervene? If he's sovereign, why doesn't he? And so when life is painful and hard, we a lot of times just choose to pull back and say, this isn't working. I'm just kind of going to put some distance between me and God. I mean, my prayers are just hitting the ceiling anyway. And so instead of staying connected to God, we disconnect from him. And you know, so that's kind of what Adam and Eve did. And so what we end up with when we do that, again, are a bunch of negative thoughts and a bunch of negative emotions. And let me use Adam and Eve to illustrate. So going back to Genesis 3, here's what they experienced in terms of negative emotions. They experienced shame. They looked down. They realized that they were no longer clothed with the glory of God, but they were exposed for who they really were, which was God haters. And they were shame came in. Adam even said that he was afraid. So shame came in, fear came in. He said, God, I hid from you because I was afraid. So see, I'm going to put distance there when there's fear. They chose self-righteous behavior instead of counting on God. They counted on themselves and made their little covering of fig leaves. And then they had feelings of hostility and loneliness. Just think of how lonely they were. They used to take a walk with God in the garden, and now they're cut off from him. Don't you know that felt awful? So that's the same dynamic that we have, that when we disconnect from God, their shame can come in, fear come in. We choose, make poor choices that make us work harder and feel tireder, and we feel hostile and lonely. So what we want to do is choose love instead. And, you know, really, you think about it. I'm going to put choose love for my next. And then I'm going to put in parentheses forgiving love, because that's kind of what it boils down to. You know, what would you do if this was a person? If you were feeling disconnected from God, disappointed in God, if you were feeling all those same things, fear, if you were feeling kind of like, well, you're not pulling up your end of the relationship. If it was a person, and if you were healthy, you would probably have a little conversation, wouldn't you? Because you don't want, you know, if it's your somebody you live with in the same house, I mean, that just gets to be real awkward after a while. And you need just, I don't know about you, but I want to bridge that connection pretty fast. And so I think that's kind of what we want to do too. That's what I'm suggesting that we do, is that we have a little talk with God. First of all, admitting, getting in touch with, there are some places where I may be offended or disappointed with God. I may feel disconnected from him. There's a spirit of separation that's come between us. And where we might just want to have just that frank conversation and just pour our hearts out before him and just say, this is how I'm feeling. Because, you know, that doesn't surprise him. He already knows that anyway. And then ask him to forgive us. We can always count on that, y'all, because when we sin, it says in 1 John 1, let's start in verse 5. Let's read the promise that forgiving love is guaranteed to us in 1 John 1. I'm going to start in verse 5. It says, this is the message which we have heard from him and declare to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him, if we say we're connected to him, and walk in the darkness. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, that means to agree with him about our sin, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That is the basis of forgiving love, is that we can come to him, we can have a frank conversation with him, we can just talk honestly with him and confess to him how we're feeling, and then let him show us where we're off. We can do what it says in Psalm 139, 23 and 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my heart. See if there be any offensive way in me. Let's have that two-way thing. It takes two to connect, doesn't it? So we'll tell him and we'll let him tell us. And as we do that, we can, even say, and God, I forgive you too, even though he really doesn't need forgiving, but it just completes that circle of connection, and just say, Lord, what you're really saying is I want to reconnect to you. I don't want whatever this is to come between us. And what we're doing when we do that, y'all, is we're releasing him from unrealistic expectations, unbiblical expectations. We're being renewed in the spirit of our minds. And then what we want to do is rejoice, thank him, have a grateful heart, rehearse, massage the truth of his forgiving love toward us. And it'll, as we receive it for ourselves and to ourselves, then we can give it back. I want to give y'all a little testimony that happened to me this last week. I told the ones who were here and the ones who listened that I was going on a retreat this past week, and it was fantastic. It was really hard to get there. It was very worth going. I'm so glad I pushed through. Thank you for all who prayed. But one of the first exercises, and this is just relationship 101, y'all. Relationship 101. This is all this is. It's just keeping short accounts. So we get there. I'm sitting there. We had this first session, and it was good stuff. It was good stuff, but I was just kind of, I was doing this. I was like, I was a little having a hard time staying focused, because I've said this probably every week for the last 3 weeks. I mean, yes, and I've told you I have a stronghold of this for the last 15, 20 years. I was tired. I was so tired. I did not feel rested. So here I am one more time feeling not rested, but I'm here, baby. I'm here. So I'm listening. And so they said, okay, now you've got some time alone. You can either go take a nap, or you can go and sit outside in this beautiful, it was a gorgeous fall afternoon, by the lake or on the trail, and you can have some uninterrupted personal time with Jesus. And I thought, nap or personal time with Jesus? Personal time with Jesus or nap? I don't know. That's kind of a toss-up. So anyway, it was like the Lord said, well, you could do both. And I thought, okay. So we're all supposed to be in listening mode. And they had given us this exercise, and I'm going to make up little thing. And all it is you take a piece of paper and you have this little horizontal, it doesn't matter, but they suggested to do it horizontally to kind of give you, just the different view, open your mind up. And what you do is it's called the middle of the page. And you write a question in the middle of the page. Okay. So I've put this in the homework this week, and let me just tell you before anybody freaks out, you do this every single week on one thing. It's the exact same thing. You're asking a question at the end. You go, God, what's the one thing that you would have me to apply to my life this week? We've been doing this every week for 15 years. We've been doing this every week for 3 weeks. We've been doing it every week for 1 week. Y'all already are doing this. So, okay, just saying. But they just put it on a piece of paper and called it something. So we're going to now put it on a piece of paper and call it something. Middle of the page. So I'm out there. I'm at the edge of the lake. And here's my notebook. I bring my notebook out there. What question should I ask you, God? And I got quiet. And I listened. It was like, why don't you ask me why you can't rest? And I thought, yes, I want to know the answer to that. So I got my pen out, baby, and I wrote that, and I put a big old question mark on that. Yes, I want to know the answer to that, God. And so then it's like, be still and listen. And then just jot down the next thing that you hear. Trust in that his sheep hear his voice. And let me add the disclaimer, never take it at face value. Always, 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 and never don't not match it up against Scripture. It has to be biblical or it wasn't God. And if you need to know if there's a verse that backs that up in the Bible, kyg@bellsouth.net. I will help you find one if I don't know one. Okay, so that's a always, always. Okay, so anyway, I wrote down my question, why can't I rest? I got quiet, and this is what I heard. Rest your head. Rest your head. I thought, I could take that two ways, and I am going to take it two ways. I think that's what you're saying. My brain needs to rest because it is always, 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 always turned on. And remember what we've been saying. Lead from your spirit. Lead from your spirit. Lead from your spirit. You want your spirit to grow larger. And instead of, you know, in other words, remember when you look at the diagram that you want to operate from the center of your being. You want to operate from the Holy Spirit inside your human spirit, and that it takes up more territory from your soul, so you don't have to use your head as much. It's not that you're getting rid of your head. It's not that you quit thinking. It's just that you let the part of you that's really capable of the most, which is Christ in me, you let it take the lead so that your head can rest. And I thought, okay, good, good, I'm getting this. I knew that kind of, but thanks for saying, rest your head. And it was like, go ahead, rest. So I had on this big scarf. I wore this outfit in particular today so that I could demonstrate, but I'm not going to. But I had this, and it was on the little creek bank, the river bank. I put this plastic under my behind. I took my big bag, and I put it behind my head, and then I took my scarf off, and I spread it down over the ground, and I just put my head back, and I looked, and there was this big tree and this big blue sky, and the birds were singing, and I thought, that feels fantastic, God. Rest in my head. I love that. Let's just keep on doing that. If I could just go to sleep right now, it would be even great. And then this is what I heard. You think it's sleep that is going to fix. Well, let's see. I'll just read it. It says, I think I need sleep. And then sleep won't fix what's wrong. And I went, ooh, that's good, God. That's good. It says, sleep makes you feel better, but it doesn't make you better. And I went, good, that's the truth. That bears witness to my spirit. Yes, okay. So then I'm back there. And then all of a sudden, I started feeling just kind of this kind of restlessness. And I thought, here I go again. I'm itching. And parentheses, I'm a big itchy girl. And I have been a really big itchy girl in the last 2 years because I work in an environment that is filled with medicinal dust. And I swim in a swimming pool that is full of chlorinated chemicals. So I've been having this issue with itching. So I thought, oh, I'm doing that again. I'm itching. So I sat up and I thought, okay, I've got another question. So I made myself another middle of a page on my paper. And I said, God, why am I itching? So I'm sitting there like this. And I just thought, oh, I can't stand it anymore. So I sat up and I looked and there were little ants crawling all over my feet. Oh, no. And so I said, okay, God, this is my time alone with you, and I'm supposed to be listening to you, and I've got these ants. Why? And then I got real quiet, and I thought, I remember, okay, so you said, now let him say. So I'm sitting there, and this is what I heard. In this world, you will have ants. That's exactly what I heard. And I just went, you know what? It broke it for me. I just burst out laughing. I thought, oh, that's hilarious. We all know the reference to back that up. That was a paraphrase of John 16:33. In this world, you will have trouble. And then I went on, and it was just like a flood after that. It's like, Kathy, you have unrealistic expectations. You expect me to do X, Y, and Z, the things on your list, instead of letting me be God in certain places. You're trying hard, you're working hard, you think you're giving it your best, and then here was his question to me. What if your best is to do nothing? And I thought, ooh, that's a question for me to ponder. But anyway, it was just really sweet. It was a really sweet exercise, because what it did was, I don't think this whole issue is solved, but what did I do? I got in touch with some places where I was disconnected from God. I'm thinking, you know, really, this praying about rest thing, sometimes I just kind of give up on it. So I opened up the dialogue. I was honest with God. And then he was honest back with me. He spoke into my situation, and he gave me some truth and some light. And then I was able to say, oh, God, I'm so sorry. I mean, because I needed to repent and change my mind. Repent means repent, change your mind for the better. See it like he sees it. I was able to see it like he saw it, at least in part. And I felt reconnected. So that's what I'm going to ask you to do this week, is to do the middle of the page. You don't have to do it in the middle of the page. You don't have to find a creek bank to do it on. You don't have to lie down. You don't have to even call it middle of the page. But I would just say, if you have places where you're mad at God, disconnected from him, angry and feeling separated from him, have a conversation with him. I've given you a tool and technique called listening to God, and it is squeezed, crammed, jam-packed with biblical support for the fact that God still speaks. It'll tell you how to know when you're on the right track biblically and when you're off biblically. This, y'all, I feel like is the greatest gift I could ever give you, is to know that your Father loves you. He is a relational God. He's made you to be a relational being, and he wants to communicate with you. You know, it's just, you know, if you believe God answers prayer, then you've got to believe that God's communicating still today. I mean, it's just the same thing, just a different way to say it. So I would just encourage you to get in touch with those places where you may not be feeling warmth and connection, love flowing. And you may even need to quote, finger quotes, I'm making finger quotes, forgive God, and have a little come to Jesus meeting, so that you can voice to him, and then he can voice back to you, and then that fruit can start flowing, and you really can love from a whole heart. Let's see. Oh yeah, and Peter was my example from the Bible. You know, he denied Jesus 3 times. Jesus died, and Peter never got a chance to make it right. But Jesus extended perfect love to him. He came back. When he sent the angel to the tomb to tell him he had risen, he said, go and tell the disciples and Peter that I've risen, that he's got another chance. God's always got a second and third and fourth and endless chances to us. And that's, I believe, why Peter could write this, and I'll close with this. 1 Peter 4:8 says, and above all things, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins. Okay, let's pray. Father, thank you so much for the way you love us. Thank you, Lord, that you, at very, very great cost to yourself, chose to reach out to us, to reconnect to us, to reconcile to us, to act beneficially toward us, to fix what was broken in our lives because we couldn't fix it ourselves, Lord. We got perfect love. We got perfect forgiveness. We got a clean slate. We got eternal life forever, Lord. And you got a bunch of fit-throwing, itchy, restless, murmuring children, Lord. Thank you that you are glad you did it. We read that in Isaiah 53 before class, that you see the fruit of that, and you're glad you did it. It was worth it to you so that we could be connected to you. Thank you, Lord, for loving us that much. I pray that we would take time meditating on that, singing songs about how great your salvation is, how great your love is, how amazing and endless is your love and forgiveness toward us. Thank you that it's always available to us. All we have to do is just agree with you, Lord, that we have disconnected, that we've gone our own way. We just confess that to you, and you're faithful and righteous to forgive us and cleanse us, not only for the thing that we're aware of, but from all unrighteousness. That is an amazing opportunity, Lord, and we want that. Pray that you'd remind us in those moments when we're feeling distant or fearful or lonely or angry or mad or disconnected, Lord, that you would remind us to stop and take inventory and just ask that question, Lord, what's going on inside of me? And listen and wait for your answer. Thank you, Lord. We're about to do that now and ask that you'd speak to each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen.